Welcome and welcome back to Tales from the Office. Tales from the Office is a great podcast that I do. My name is Jeff Brandler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist practicing in New Jersey. What Tales in the Office does really well, I think, is that we do some education, we do some entertainment, and we throw in some good psychology stuff about change. We'll toss in a little music, hopefully a little humor. That's what we're going to do. That's what we do on Tales from the Office. Today we have a few tales and a few songs. First on today's show, the club. Now there are many kinds of clubs. There is the Mickey Mouse Club. There is the Hair Club for Men. There's the Culture Club, the Bullet Club. And Groucho Marx said that he wouldn't want to belong to any club that would have him as a member. It's questionable if Groucho would want to belong to this club, however. It's a special type of club that I'd like to introduce. For most people, there's some sense of self-awareness that they have. And if we wanted to grade it out, we could say that it runs on a 0 to 100 scale. Well, some people are so self-unaware that they would score a minus 100. Hence, we would name their club the Minus 100 Club. Now, the Minus 100 Club is interesting. So let me give you a couple of examples about people who would meet the criteria for the Minus 100 Club. These are people who talk loudly about personal things in restaurants or airports. They are people who would demand have special treatment. They are drivers who weave in and out of traffic in unsafe weather conditions. There are also drivers who don't yield to others despite the fact of the obvious yield sign that's on the road. People who blame others for things they blatantly do. People who allow their kids to yell and scream at hotels at 7:30 in the morning and then yell back at them, "Yes, I'm talking to you, person in room 342. And most recently, the person who loudly walked into my office suite, knocked loudly on the door to introduce himself as the new owner of an eatery. "Congratulations, Mr. New Restaurant Owner. You are a member of the Minus 100 Club." The sense of entitlement of these people are amazing. They feel that they can do anything because it is their world and we just rent from them. However, there is a special subsection of people who are unaware and are high scorers in the Minus 100 Club. These people have narcissism. These folks think that they are special people with special traits that require special admiration. They are so special that they will tell you about their great intelligence, great clothes, great car, great house, and how you are fortunate to have them in your life. You know these people have narcissism because after you deal with their criticism or their hyper-defensiveness, you are the person who feels bad. Let's find out a little bit more about this. Right now I'm talking to our multitasking people. You know who you are. You can go to my website, which is www.changeispossible.org. Go to the self-assessment section, and then go to the NPD quiz. For people who aren't multitasking pros, I'll wait for you to go to the site. I'll wait. A little dead air is always good. All right, so we got the quiz, right? I'm going to look at it with you, and we're going to look at some of the key things. This comes from Loving the Self-Absorbed by Nina Brown, Traits of NPD. Constantly looks to you to meet their names. Their needs, sorry. Constantly looks to you to meet their needs. Gets upset when you are perceived to be critical or blaming. Expects you to put his or her needs before your own. Expects you to openly admire him or her. Becomes angry when challenged or confronted. uses your disclosures to criticize, blame, or discount you, is controlling, lies, distorts, misleads, is arrogant, demeans and devalues you, has to be the center of attention, makes fun of others' mistakes or faults, expect favors, but does not return them. Now, if you look at the quiz, you'll see that there are 30 questions. In my experience in my office, when I've asked people to grade their person that they're with, I've gotten some 30s, some 29s, some 28s, and a few 27s. If you have a person in your life who treats you badly and meets some of those criteria, they're going to score high on the quiz. They will be charter members of the minus 100 club. When people are around these club members, their self-esteem gets shredded. They are constantly told that they are stupid, incompetent ninnies who know absolutely nothing. That message is constantly repeated. Once you believe that you are incompetent, then you lose all the things that make you you. You then begin to doubt the simplest thing, which of course reinforces our club members' view of your stupidity in the first place. This cycle goes on and on and on until someone, perhaps you, the listener, makes some change. Some predictable things happen in relationships like this. One, the club member continues their verbal onslaught, which pushes the person further and further down. Two, the club member leaves the relationship with validation and purpose in knowing that he is right and you are this incompetent boob who knew nothing. Or three, the person living with the club member gets some help. We're hoping for number three here, getting some help. There is always lots of repair work to do when you've been around the club member. Because these people destroy self-esteem, they destroy everything about the person. Their arrogance makes them hard to deal with. Their projection about how bad you are is hard to take. And people start believing that they are just that way. When I've seen people, they usually come in my office not knowing what the hell has happened. They're usually depressed or anxious or miserable. Getting them to see what their experience has been is a really hard job. They're usually so good at defending the club member and blaming themselves for their own stupidity, when in fact they're not stupid at all. They rationalize the club member's behavior and they feel more and more miserable. It's only when they take a quiz like the one I just read, or they go to various websites about narcissism, that they say, "Wow, there is a lot of people that have had my experience. I can't be wrong when others feel the same way." It's at this point that the first part of the healing process begins. This usually takes a while because it's like being bitten by a cobra snake. It takes a long time to get that venom out of the system. It'll take time to rewire the self system, increasing self-esteem, to get the person back to a good, healthy level. Okay, time for a music break. From Quadrophenia, The Who, The Punk Meets the Godfather. It's a fun song which plays off of Roger Daltrey's singing stuttering ability, which he started in my generation, and continues here. Several lines for you to pay attention to. You only earn what we gave you. You can only repeat what we told you. You can breathe the air that we've blown you. Imagine being in a relationship with someone like this. A musical example of narcissism at its best. Relax. Listen to the song. See you on the other side.
your future out. I'm pounding stages like a clown, and on the dance floor, broken glass and bloody faces slowly press. The numbered seats in empty rows, it all belongs to me, you know.
The Who from Quadrophenia, The Punk Meets the Godfather. I remember buying that record from Corvettes in their all record album sale. Yes, I've just dated myself. Listeners who don't get the reference, don't worry. There is always Wikipedia. Going from music to, well, music, but the therapeutic version of a musical concept that helps us with communication. The concept is and stop. The musical people in our audience, you can explain this to the non-musicians because they can explain what it looks like in a sheet of music and what it means when you see it. And stop. Okay, I can see that you've done that. Good, time to move on. Stopping is nothing that we do well. When we drive, there are stop signs. But sometimes, particularly in New Jersey, we do the rolling stop. You know, you kind of slow down, you look both ways, then you speed up. It's a kind of a yield, but no one does that either. In communication with others, we don't stop either. We rarely yield. And sometimes the best communications become the worst because we didn't stop. Hence, we need our technique and stop. Let's listen to a real example of this. A husband says to his wife, "Honey, thanks for making the meatloaf. It was really good. You know, but the next time you make it, you should probably add some onions. And yeah, probably some sauce, because that will make it less dry. It was a little dry. And while you're at it, you should probably get my mom's recipe, because she made an awesome version of my meatloaf when she was growing up, when I was growing up. That was the best meatloaf I've ever had." Well, the wife's reaction to this comment goes something like this. Probably in real life, you'd need to turn the volume down, but goes like this. "I can't effing believe that you can insult me that way. I work really hard on that meal, and now you're telling me that it wasn't good, and my recipe wasn't good, and I should get your mom's recipe? Really? Go get your own damn recipe." Okay, well, that conversation went way off target. Let's do this again using and stop. "Honey, thank you for making the meatloaf. It was really good." And stop. Wife, you're welcome. It was my pleasure to make you a meal that you enjoy.
Ah,
the birds are singing. And stop eliminates all the necessary helpful criticism and keeps the compliment as a compliment, not as an attempted compliment which turns into a put-down. You know, this would seem like a great time to promote my most famous unpublished book, 15 Words or Less. Have you read it? You haven't? It's available at the Change Is Possible website. For those that haven't read this lengthy work, all good communication occurs in 15 words or less. The first word is an I. The second word is a feeling, leaving you with 13 words to convey something important. 15 words or less in combination with and stop gives us a way to not give the sermonette from the mountain and provides direct communication without us going to my favorite 12-step group, On and On. So let's see what happens in our next example. Bob came home late from work and is very drunk. Sally, his wife, says the following upon seeing Bob. What the F is wrong with you? You're always drunk. You came home late. You didn't effing call me. You don't care about anyone but yourself. You probably slept with one of those whores at the bar because we never have sex. You probably think I'm fat and unattractive. I hate you because you make me feel bad about myself. Now, Sally is clearly feeling bad and feeling bad about herself. Her communication to the drunk Bob is very worthless because, he's drunk. If Sally had read the 15 word or less book and had practiced and stop, she might have said something like this. I'm very frustrated by your drinking, and the late hours you are keeping need to change. And stop. And voila, the and stop helps the statement stay on the rails instead of becoming another crazy train. Thank you, Ozzy. Practice and stop in your conversations, and you too can say what you mean what you say, and not say it mean. Beginnings. Seems appropriate. A final note for today. The song Beginnings is just such a great song, with so much meaning and so much power to it, and seems most helpful and appropriate because I was recently at a wedding. The bride and groom and the respective families were happily celebrating this joyous occasion. They had love and happiness and connection. As a marriage and family therapist, it was great to see that. All too often, I see couples in my office that have lost that connection, that spark, that joy. If we work on the assumption that they've once had that, it makes their journey sadder and that they've fallen that far off track. At least couples that I see are working on their relationship and are hopeful that they can get it back. To all the couples out there in the Tales of the Office universe, remember what got you to the dance in the first place. Keep looking for the joy and the happiness and the love. If your relationship is in need of repair, find a good therapist, do the work, and you will find that it will be worth it. Remember, change is possible. We'll see you soon.